This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
No softening of the rhetoric. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Thursday, August 10. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
North Korea is shrugging off White House threats. In fact, Pyongyang today even announced further details on a plan to fire missiles at the U.S. territory of Guam.
The State Department says employees of the U.S. Embassy in Cuba had to be evacuated because of mysterious illnesses.
FBI agents have raided the Virginia home of Paul Manafort, the former Trump campaign chairman.
Getting ready for your August vacation will do your family a favor. Don't post pictures on social media while you're away.
Anytime you advertise on social media that you are on vacation, you know, that is a nice little advertisement to say, I am not home. And especially if you haven't configured the privacy settings correctly, or you're just on a social network where there's a wider audience for your posts than trusted family members and friends, that could open yourself up to some risk there.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on how to avoid advertising to burglars that you're away on vacation. She's here in about 20 minutes. North Korea is unimpressed with Washington rhetoric. Earlier today, it outlined detailed plans for a missile strike near the U.S. territory of Guam, dismissing a warning from President Trump as a load of nonsense. You'll recall the president said North Korea would face fire and fury if it threatened the U.S. Pyongyang's official state-run news agency said the isolated country was finalizing plans to fire four intermediate-range missiles over Japan to land 18 to 25 miles from Guam, home to a U.S. Navy base and an air base. Guam Governor Eddie Calvo said on Fox News last night that there was no heightened threat from North Korea.
We encourage everyone to go through their lives, right, and live them like you would do any other day.
The U.S. 7th Fleet currently has six ships in the region capable of targeting North Korean missiles, and Japan has another four. Guam also has a Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, or THAAD, anti-missile system. Well, there's new urgency to America's plan to overhaul the U.S. nuclear arsenal by the year 2031, something that's been underway for 5 years now. Given the exchanges between the U.S. and North Korea, here's a review of that plan from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The project, expected to cost as much as $1 trillion over 30 years, is designed to replace the planes, missiles, and submarines the U.S. military would use to deliver nuclear weapons to enemy targets. The overhaul of the nuclear program began under the Obama administration, which made the agreement in exchange for Republican ratification of the New START Nuclear Arms Reduction Treaty with Russia. The modernization program does not increase the amount of nuclear missiles, which is already enormously larger than that of North Korea. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. As of March, by the way, the U.S. government said it had more than 1,400 nuclear warheads deployed on missiles, submarines, and bombers. North Korea has about 10. President Trump tweeted yesterday that the U.S. nuclear arsenal, quote, is now far stronger and more powerful than ever before. Well, the president has confronted the greatest national security challenge of his young presidency when he threatened to meet the news that North Korea has developed a miniaturized nuclear weapon capable of fitting on a missile with, quote, fire and fury like the world has never seen. How is the new administration managing this? It's a story from Sarah Westwood, White House correspondent at the Washington Examiner. Sarah, set this up.
President Trump has always been critical of the fact that former President Obama frequently telegraphed the United States' unwillingness to use military force. It was clear to leaders around the world, for instance, that Obama was never going to use military force in Syria, and I think that had a detrimental effect on the conflict there. That's kind of the universal consensus that's formed. Most of the international community recognized that Obama was unwilling to use military force. So President Trump, from day one, has always tried to make clear to everyone that not only was he different from Obama virtually every way domestically, but that he, unlike his predecessor, would be willing to use military force at a moment's notice. That's kind of the tactic that he's taken when it comes to North Korea. At the same time, he's promised not to get the United States entangled in foreign conflicts. He's promised to keep the U.S. out of quagmires like the ones in the Middle East that dragged on during the Obama years, the ones that started under the Bush administration. He's criticized both parties for the way such conflicts were handled. And so he does have to be careful then about letting the tough talk get the United States dragged into some kind of engagement that could last for a very long time. And that is, the situation kind of presents his administration with a chance to demonstrate how that sort of approach would work.
All right. How about the timing of all this, too, with the president's kind of newly formed leadership team?
It's incredibly interesting, the timing, because a lot of the people in high-level positions in the White House right now are new. John Kelly, notably the chief of staff, is only a few weeks on the job, is now helping President Trump navigate his first major international crisis. The White House press secretary is new in terms of steering the message on her own, Sarah Sanders. She is the one who is going to try to articulate the White House's strategy on North Korea, even though she's only been the press secretary for a couple of weeks. And so it'll be interesting to see how this new team functions. And the arrival of John Kelly, I think, has very notably exposed this long simmering rift between Steve Bannon, President Trump's chief strategist, one of his most trusted advisors, and H.R. McMaster, his national security advisor, who came in long after the campaign. He's Trump's second national security advisor, wasn't even his first pick for that position, and is someone who is ideologically different than Trump. He's very aligned with the typical Republican foreign policy establishment, where Bannon is someone who really embraced the America First, more isolationist foreign policy that President Trump laid out during the campaign. So that's presented a lot of complications, and those complications could just be aggravated by the North Korea conflict. The fact that H.R. McMaster might be providing a totally different kind of counsel to Trump than Bannon, and those kind of tensions in the West Wing with such a high-stakes conflict unfolding could make the situation difficult for President Trump when it comes to making decisions.
We're speaking with Sarah Westwood, White House correspondent at the Washington Examiner. How about the potential here for tough talk on North Korea helping approval ratings potentially?
That is a little bit of a cynical way to view the conflict, but certainly it's called the rally around the flag effect. It's something that historically has occurred when presidents confront international challenges, is that they see a bump in their approval ratings. President Trump saw one when he authorized a missile strike in Syria in April. Other presidents, notably President George W. Bush, have seen significant gains in their approval ratings when they do authorize and carry out military action, because voters see them then as their commander-in-chief. In times of turmoil and uncertainty, voters have a tendency to rally around the president. President Trump's approval ratings, as you know, are kind of abysmal right now. So that is one potential upside to this otherwise very dreary situation that the White House could be looking forward to.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Westwood, White House correspondent at the Washington Examiner. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. What's going on in Cuba? The U.S. State Department says unspecified incidents have caused physical symptoms in Americans serving at the U.S. Embassy in Havana. Officials would not provide further information on the kinds of symptoms reported and would not give a precise number of Americans who left Cuba as a result. But as part of this, the State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says two Cuban diplomats have been expelled from their embassy in Washington.
Those two individuals have departed the United States. We take the situation very seriously. One of the things we talk about here often is that the safety and security of American citizens at home and abroad is our top priority. We're taking that situation seriously, and it's under investigation right now.
Reuters is reporting that several people were evacuated back to the United States for hearing problems and other symptoms over the past 6 months, and says some subsequently had to get hearing aids. The Washington Post says harassment of U.S. diplomats in Cuba is common and predates the restart of relations in 2014. It's 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, declaring President Trump bereft of reason, the head of North Korea's rocket command is warning ominously only absolute force can work on him. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says it's this kind of talk from North Korea that we should focus on, not President Trump's.
As people look at this and some consider comments to have been alarming, I would have to go back to this. Let's consider what is alarming. What is alarming? Two ICBM tests in less than a month, two nuclear tests that took place last year.
U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley travels to Vienna later this month to discuss Iran's nuclear activities with U.N. Atomic Watchdog officials. It's part of Washington's review of Tehran's compliance with a 2015 nuclear deal. French police shot and arrested a man suspected of deliberately ramming his car into a group of soldiers in an affluent Parisian suburb this time yesterday, injuring six of them in what the government calls a deliberate attack. Armed police from elite units tracked the fugitive for 5 hours before cornering him on a motorway in northern France and shooting him several times, not fatally. The civil rights attorney working on the potential lawsuit says more than 60 current and former female Google employees are mulling a class action suit against the tech giant, contending they've earned less than men at Google, despite equal qualifications and comparable positions. All this prompted by that viral memo by now former Google engineer James Damore, who tells ABC he may pursue legal action of his own.
We should make the workplace a place where you can actually thrive if you're cooperative.
A troubling health trend for women. A new Brigham and Women's Hospital study finds the incidence of stroke is declining in men, but has stayed the same for women. Researchers think risk factors like obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes may, for some reason, affect women differently. Millennials are house hunting, and a recent SunTrust mortgage survey finds a third of them want more room for their babies, fur babies. Home buying decisions driven by their dogs outranked wedding bells. 25% cited marriage as their top motivator for buying a home, and kids, only 19% said birth of a child was their prime incentive.
Priorities. Got to have priorities. You know, pets are first, kids second.
Apparently so.
That is weird. Millennials are weird. Are we in trouble? Because that's a little unsettling, that survey. Thank you, Rasa. It is 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Hello Rewards is our way of saying thank you to guests at Lexington and Red Lion Hotels. Enjoy our best rates and personalized perks. Book your hotel stay today. Before you head out on vacation this month, here's another item for your to-do list. Make sure your home is not a target for burglars. Theft is the fourth most common homeowner's insurance claim, affecting one in 235 insured homes each year. And summertime is prime time. How to protect your home while you're away from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, help us out.
It's unfortunate but true. August has 13% more theft-related claims when it comes to your home compared to other months. It's the worst month for home burglary claims.
Wow. All right. So on that note, what is it that we can do to offer a little defense here?
Well, the experts say the best thing you can really do is to reduce your home as a target, which would mean making it seem like your home. Some key things there would be to, you know, have your mail or newspapers held, get a neighbor to keep up with chores like mowing the lawn, putting the trash cans in and out, you know, just trying to make it seem like everything is normal at home.
Yeah. All right, you say to be antisocial, which seems that 99% of people are incapable of doing.
Pretty much. I mean, I see this every day when I log into Facebook, is all these people going, oh, I'm at the airport, and here's where I'm going, and, you know, great time
long?
On vacation, lots of pictures. Anytime you advertise on social media that you are on vacation, you know, that is a nice little advertisement to say, I am not home. And especially if you haven't configured the privacy settings correctly, or you're just on a social network where there's a wider audience for your posts than trusted family members and friends, that could open yourself up to some risk there.
We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Her piece is called The Expensive Vacation Memory You Did Not Plan For. And we're talking about getting burglarized while you're away and how to prevent that, or at least limit the options or the opportunities. Here's one I've heard about before. I know you mentioned in your story. How about just allowing some teenagers to have at your house while you're away, right?
Not a good idea. Definitely not a good idea. This is one that, you know, whenever we do a story along this vein, like, we hear security experts that talk a lot about it. They say it happens more than you might think.
Yeah.
That, you know, even if your teenager is going on vacation with you, that they might think it's fine to let their friends borrow the house, and you need to make it clear that that is not something that you're on board with. You also want to think about who else might have access to your house when you're away. Pet sitters, housekeepers, neighbors, whoever you think, you know, either you're allowing them to access your home or, you know, they normally have access, could be a good reason to, you know, get to an upgrade to something like a keypad lock where every individual has a unique code so that you can really track who got in the house when and, you know, can help you avoid that risk that a burglar comes across your not so cleverly concealed spare key.
Yeah.
The fake rock in the front lawn doesn't really fly.
How about securing valuables? Because you point out, like, a safe doesn't always cut it either.
That was something that was interesting to me to hear too. Yeah, a safe doesn't always cut it. Burglars, if they do get in the house, like, they're gonna sweep a lot of the common places that people hide money, which oddly enough includes the sock drawer and the freezer. You know, always a good reason if you're going on vacations. Like, it's not the time to leave your laptop out. It's not the time to leave like sensitive financial paperwork on your desk. You know, so put everything that's valuable, you know, out of sight, so at least it's maybe a little more out of mind. For the safe, you know, the interesting thing here is, like, if you don't secure it to the floor, and you don't hide that,
yeah,
burglars might still attempt to crack it or just take it with them.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Got to admit a little bit, right? You get vacationitis. Sometimes you forget to do some of that small stuff. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter, too, @GordonDeal. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter @ThisMorningShow, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you could spend time with us on this Thursday, August 10. Welcome aboard, Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: North Korea details a plan to fire missiles at Guam. American embassy employees in Cuba evacuated due to undisclosed illnesses. Hurricane Franklin threatening the east coast of Mexico. The Mega Millions and Powerball jackpots both over $300 million each for the first time. The PGA Championship begins today at Quail Hollow in Charlotte. And what happened to the college guy who sent a graduation photo to the wrong person via text? We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, heightened tensions between the U.S. and North Korea are weighing on stocks, stalling what had been a steady march higher. Instead, investors are piling into safer assets like gold and certain currencies. Dow Industrials yesterday off 36 points. NASDAQ down 18. S&P lost a fraction. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen, who covers the markets. Ben, what do we have?
Yeah, I mean, prior to that, markets had been on sort of the steady uptrend. We had 10 days in a row of the Dow climbing, 9 straight records. And then all of a sudden that stopped after Donald Trump's comments on fire and fury and just sort of the repercussions over the tensions between North Korea and the U.S. And that's kind of made its way throughout the markets. You've seen that in stocks, which are falling. They were down on Tuesday. They're down again after that. And, you know, we've seen some of these safer assets such as treasury markets and currencies such as the Japanese yen, which tend to rise when there is sort of concern. Those are getting a lot of investors, and you're also seeing gold up a lot. Another thing that you're seeing is defense stocks rising. Those are they're sort of getting a lift as sort of the prospect of any sort of conflict, you know, gets discussed. And, you know, we're seeing this sort of across the markets.
What is it that investors feel? Is it fear? Is it uncertainty?
I mean, I think there's definitely a bit of both. There's a lot of uncertainty, you know, in the market generally, especially with how much the market has climbed. And I think people are they've been nervous even before this happened in terms of, you know, is the stock market too expensive? Is there sort of a fundamental reason for stocks to rise as much as they have? You know, the Dow is up more than 10% since the start of the year, and a lot of people are sort of getting nervous that this is going too far too quickly. So something like this kind of offers a reason for investors to step back and maybe take a little bit of risk off the table.
We're speaking with Ben Eisen, Wall Street Journal reporter. He's written a piece entitled How North Korea Tensions Are Rippling Through Markets. All right, so you mentioned defense stocks, specifically Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin. Why do they tend to creep up a little bit in times like this? Is there, some sort of assumption that their possibility of an armed conflict is rising?
I mean, it's tough to take too much of a conclusion out of a one-day move. You know, you've seen these stocks up 1, 2%, but at the same time, they are rising on a day when the stock market at large is falling. So, you know, these are stocks that are sort of, they can respond to, you know, the prospect of something like that happening. So I wouldn't say that there's an assumption so much as maybe a little bit more possibility being baked into the market.
All right. So what could change things at this point and, I don't know, put the market back on path to where it was?
If you see perhaps maybe a little bit more calming of these tensions, maybe some reassurances from some of the people in the administration, that could perhaps make that happen. But on the other hand, you know, markets haven't had a pullback in a very long time. So to see something like what's happening now is a little bit healthy, sort of refreshes the market a bit.
Yeah. So we could be perhaps just coincidentally entering a period where investors have said, you know what, there's uncertainty. We're pulling profits now and not waiting for something else to happen.
Yeah, it could. I mean, that's always a possibility, and it's tough to say how long something like that would last, or if it would last at all. But you know, we haven't had a 5% pullback in the S&P 500 in more than a year, which that usually happens more than once a year. It happens 2.5 times a year on average over history. So it's the kind of thing where Perhaps we're overdue for a little bit of a pullback, and once that happens, we'll see stocks rebound.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Friday eve. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, unless it's a celebrity or the President of the United States, somebody crashing your wedding isn't something you'd normally be happy about, and certainly not something you'd want to reward. But one bride in New Jersey is taking a different tack, using social media to search for a pair of wedding crashers who left a card and a $1 gift so she can buy them a gift as a thank you gesture. Karen Fox said in a Facebook post that the couple attended her Sunday wedding to husband Michael and left a congratulations card with a handwritten message which read, "Dear Foxes, 1, congratulations, 2, sorry for crashing your wedding, 3, best of luck." The card contained a photo of the couple and a $1 bill the two strangers wrote was a buck for luck. According to guests, the crashers did not try to go unnoticed at the wedding, even asking for an extra seat at the table. table they sat at while eating dinner, drinking, and dancing.
Nice.
They were such great guests, in fact, that Karen wants to buy them a drink, saying that she's happy they were able to share their special day and that they gave the couple the best wedding present they could ever ask for.
What? What?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of confused myself. But how about that chutzpah, huh?
Yeah.
How about that? Not, you know, usually somebody crashes a wedding, unless it's, you know, in a movie or something. Normally someone's going to crash a wedding. Maybe they'll just try and scam a free drink from the bar or something like that. They're not actually going to sit down and eat a, you know, $100 meal.
Right.
And then, you know, get out there and dance with everybody and kind of make themselves conspicuous like that.
A meal and booze.
Yeah.
And they left a buck.
And they left a dollar.
And so... Is that a thing, like a buck for luck, or did they invent that because they were just like cheaping out?
Yeah, I'm sure that's a thing. I'm a little out of the loop on wedding traditions now, but I think that's probably a thing.
But she said that's the best wedding present they could ever ask for.
Was, I guess, having them there to enjoy their special day.
Not sure what that says about Karen's friends and family.
Yeah.
And perhaps their cheapness?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm starting to feel like that perhaps the wedding glow hasn't quite worn off yet.
Oh,
she's still super happy from the wedding. Maybe the bills haven't shown up yet.
You're right. I'll shut up. I'll let them enjoy the moment.
When the bills arrive, you know, that could be a problem.
I never cried. Did you ever crash a wedding? I never did.
I have not done that yet. But Wedding Crashers, one of my favorite movies whenever it comes on cable.
There you go.
And a New York-based brewery, Gordon, is poking fun at this summer's mass transit delays and perhaps giving frustrated commuters a way to numb the pain by crafting a rail-inspired beer. Blue Point Brewing Company introduced its new Delayed Pilsner, inspired by recent delays on the Long Island Railroad in the New York City area. The special edition beer, which features a label inspired by the railway schedule board, will be made available exclusively at Penn Station in Manhattan. The company's president said that they wanted to brew something a little more drinkable, but also with a little bit of bitterness to represent the mood that most people at Penn Station are feeling this summer.
Mm.
The beer will be available at Penn Station beginning August 14th, and Blue Point says an additional run may be needed to wait out the end of the transit delay, dubbed by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo as the summer of hell.
Boy, that is just brilliant small business marketing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and because I guess, you know, they're a craft brewery, they can sort of jump into action like that, right? They can sort of
get nimble
in there, you know, a couple of short runs, and then get out and then find the next cool thing to make a beer about, I guess.
Good stuff. Good story. Thank you, Mike. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, another salvo in the war of words last night, with the head of North Korea's rocket command calling President Trump's threats a load of nonsense and that only absolute force can work on him. North Korea says it will complete a plan to attack waters near Guam by mid-August, then wait for the commander-in-chief's order. Guam Governor Eddie Bazzacalvo says Guamanians have decided to keep calm and carry on.
Obviously, for our administration and for the people of Guam, there is concern and worry, but there is no panic.
There is some worry as well about mysterious health issues for personnel at the U.S. Embassy in Cuba. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert.
We don't have any definitive answers about the source or the cause of what we consider to be incidents.
Unspecified physical symptoms appeared in Americans serving at the U.S. Embassy in Havana, and two Washington-based Cuban diplomats have been expelled. The Washington Post reports FBI agents searched the Alexandria, Virginia home last month of President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort. Manafort's been a subject of a longstanding FBI investigation into his dealings in Ukraine. The Wall Street Journal reports the feds were looking for documents and other material tied to foreign bank accounts and tax matters as part of the probe into Russia's meddling in the 2016 election. A British company hired to help train Afghan intelligence officers billed the U.S. government for more than $50 million in questionable expenses. A Pentagon audit finds the New Century Consulting invoiced for luxury cars and exorbitant salaries and bonuses paid to top executives and their significant others. The New York Times has issued a correction after publishing a climate report Tuesday it said was leaked to the paper by a scientist, only to learn the report has been online for months. Under the front page subheadline, Fears of Suppression, the article claimed the draft report had not been made public by the Trump administration, but was available on several online sites in January. Franklin is the first Atlantic hurricane of the season. It's come ashore near Veracruz, Mexico, where it's expected to ring itself out with as much as 15 inches of rain today. And when the Iraqi government announces a mandatory official holiday because of the heat, you know it's unbearably hot. All government workers are ordered to stay home today, as most of Iraq bakes at 124 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's a little uncomfortable.
Oh, that's a little sticky.
Yeah. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-61-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call.
877-61-STEEL. That's 877-617-8335.
A recent college grad in South Carolina had an encouraging exchange with a stranger by text. Cool story from UPI. Justin Campbell shared screenshots of the text conversation that began when he accidentally sent a photo of himself and a friend at their graduation from Coastal Carolina University to a total stranger. The response he received back from that stranger was a smiling photo of real estate agent Roger Hawkins, who gave Mr. Campbell a thumbs up and a link to a list of motivational speeches to congratulate him on his graduation. He wrote, "Congrats, fellas. The sky's the limit." Well, Mr. Campbell tweeted that response, and it quickly received more than 30,000 retweets and 90,000 likes. Mr. Hawkins' phone number, by the way, was inadvertently included in the tweet, and the real estate agent suddenly received an influx of requests for advice. By the way, the pair have not met in person yet, but they're apparently holding out for a televised meeting on The Ellen Show. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.